Hello there, my name's Gary Sims, and this is Gary Explains. And with all the drama unfolding about Windows 11, will it run on a 7th generation Intel Core processor? Will it run on a Zen 1-based processor like the Ryzen 5 1600 like I have? And the whole drama about Microsoft not wanting to change the rules and everyone else saying, but you've got to change the rules, and why are they setting these? Oh, there's a whole drama. Now, because of that, there's a time to look at the alternatives. What are the alternatives to running Windows 11? Well, if you want to find out more, please let me explain. Okay, so let's just jump straight in. The first alternative to running Windows 11, of course, is to run Windows 10. Now, the advantages of running Windows 10 are that if you are a Windows user, you are already probably running it. Although, interestingly, I did see some comments under my video saying that some people were still on Windows 7 and Windows 8. But if you're running Windows 10, then stick with Windows 10. Advantages are everything is already running. You've got all your software installed. You know what's working. You know what's not working. And you've got security updates right through to 2025. So the operating system will stay as secure as Microsoft can make it. Of course, the disadvantages are that if there was something you particularly wanted with Windows 11, then you won't be able to get access to it. But again, on the plus side, if you buy a new graphics card, for example, chances are that Nvidia and AMD are going to be supporting Windows 10 for many, many years. And that will also be true of scanners and printers and webcams, all this other kind of stuff. So you're not really losing out, certainly in the short term. Again, another disadvantage, once 2025 rolls around, which I do understand is several years away from now, then of course you're going to have to think again, what are you going to do for the future? So number one, stick with Windows 10. Now my second alternative to running Windows 11 is to run Windows 11. What? Well, what do I mean by that? Well, actually all this stuff about TPM modules and secure boot and which AMD processor you have, which Intel processor you have, only apply to the x86 ecosystems. That's Intel and AMD processors. If you run Windows on Snapdragon, which is basically Windows on ARM, then you don't have any of these problems because it's a relatively new ecosystem. Then all the stuff about secure boot, TPM, and which CPUs are supported don't count because all of the existing devices that are in the Windows on Snapdragon ecosystem will work with Windows 11. So for example, I have here on the channel review of the Surface Pro X, I'm going to be changing that to the Insider Build program, and I'm going to upgrade it to the Insider Build of Windows 11, and I'm going to make a video about it, and it will work without any hassle. And that will also be true if you have any Windows on Snapdragon processor laptop already running Windows 10 today. So if you don't want Windows 11, then why not run Windows 11? And the third alternative to using Windows 11, of course, is to use a Mac. And of course, the Mac ecosystem is very, very mature and very, very well supported. In fact, if you rely on Adobe's Creative Suite like I do, Premiere Pro, Photoshop and all that, then of course, it's all available on the Mac, as are all the web browsers, Chrome, Firefox, all the stuff you need for media. Then of course, there's Apple stuff like Keynote and, you know, Final Cut Pro. That's all over there as well. There is even some gaming. Now, for example, if I go to an event like CES or MWC, then I take my Mac with me, and the videos that I make on location, I'm actually editing and publishing on my Mac. And of course, there are many, many people that just use a Mac. They don't have a Windows PC or an alternative at all. They're purely in the Mac ecosystem, and it works absolutely great. So maybe if you were thinking about jumping from Windows over to Mac, now is the time to think about it. Of course, you should definitely get one with an M1 processor in it, because you don't want to get one with an x86 processor, even though they might be quite cheap now. Stick with the M1 because that will give you future proofing, or maybe even wait 6 months and see what's happening, what comes down the pipeline in a few months from Apple with their next generation of stuff. But in any case, Mac is definitely a viable alternative to Windows 11. And my fourth alternative to Windows 11 is Chrome OS. Now you can get Chromebooks quite cheaply. The last Chromebook I picked up cost me in the UK £99. That was a few years ago. It was in a sale, and of course you can get them right up to, you know, $500, $600, $700, even more in some cases. So the range of Chromebooks is there for almost any budget. And then of course the advantage is that you are basically running a dedicated Chrome kind of laptop. Automatic updates, everything you do online, Gmail, Google Docs, Google Photos, YouTube, Netflix, you know, all that stuff, all just happens on the web browser, works absolutely great. But there are two other advantages to using Chrome OS. One is that you get to run Android apps. You don't need Windows 11 to run Android apps. You can run Android apps on Chrome OS. You get the Google Play Store and you can bring it up and start installing apps there. And you can also run Linux apps. So you can actually run a kind of a Linux subsystem, very much like Windows subsystems for Linux, which is kind of like the subsystem for Chrome OS. And then you can install anything you like from there that would normally be installed, including LibreOffice, for example, there on your Chromebook. Now, I have videos about Chrome OS here on this channel. I have videos about using Android apps on Chrome OS here on this channel. I have videos about using Linux on your Chrome OS here on this channel. So if you're interested in any of those, then I do recommend you check out those videos. And of course, the fifth alternative is to use Linux itself. Now, of course, the advantage of Linux is that it's free, it's open source, there are just lots and lots of distributions, Ubuntu and Mint and Fedora and Zorin and, oh, Popo, there's just so many you can list from, and there are lots and lots of people that, you know, say, you know, this one's better and this one's better, but they're all very, very capable, and there are some specifically designed, for example, like Zorin OS for people who are used to the Windows interface. There are some designed for people who are really into, you know, I really want to be into Linux, you know, and you do everything yourself. There's just everything to cater for everybody. But that in itself has its disadvantages because there's lots and lots of fragmentation. Because you could see one Linux desktop, see another Linux desktop, and you can't even tell they're the same thing. You wouldn't know where to click, where to go, where to make the settings, how to install a printer, where do I configure my scanner, how do I use the webcam, because everything is so different. So with this diversity, which in itself is wonderful and rich and great, there's also a lack of harmony because you just don't know what you're getting. So there can also be this kind of warlike culture, unfortunately. Just read some of the comments below about, you know, I use Arch Linux, by the way. I mean, great, well done, pat yourself on the back. I mean, you know, they really do have to understand that it can be a kind of a bit of a hostile environment, which is a shame because it really could be a good alternative. If you don't run Adobe Creative Suite, if you don't rely on too much Windows software, then Linux is the way to go forward. Again, web browser, Firefox, you know, there's an open office, LibreOffice, you can use all of this kind of stuff. And it will work great. But if you need some specific software, like in my case, like Adobe Creative Suite, then it's not going to be the answer for you. There is Wine and there is Crossover, the paid version, which can help alleviate some of those problems. So if you're thinking of abandoning Windows, you could try giving that a go. Well, if you're interested in Linux command line stuff, I have several videos here on this channel teaching you how to use the command line. Okay, and before I close, I better mention all the other possible alternatives, because someone will say, you didn't mention FreeBSD. Okay, there's FreeBSD, there's NetBSD, there's OpenBSD, there's ReactOS. You could even run FreeDOS if you wanted to. So of course there are always other alternatives. It just depends what you want. You could probably even find yourself with a copy of Windows 95 to install if you really, really wanted to. But if you want to get up and running and be productive, then probably one of the five that I've mentioned is what you need to pick. Okay, that's it. My name's Gary Sim. This is Gary Explains. I do hope you're following me at Twitter, @GaryExplains. Do please follow me on Twitter. That's it. See you in the next one.